GX on Agriculture with Rod McDonald.
Good afternoon. It's 18 after 12 after 1 in Manitoba. Coming up on GX on Agriculture today, well, we'll hear from our winners this week in GX94's Supper in the Field contest. We visited the farm of Marie Moore, a little west of Roblin, yesterday, and also spoke with Marie's nephew, Tim, who operates the farm now. Her husband passed a few years ago, and now she rents out her land to her nephew, Tim. So we'll hear from both Marie and Tim. We had a great visit with the Moores in the Roblin area last evening. It was actually nice. The sun was out. You wouldn't know that there hasn't been much going on as far as harvest activity, and that has certainly stalled not only on the Moore farm, but here in Saskatchewan as well. Saskatchewan Agriculture releasing its weekly crop report today. I spoke with Daphne Cruz about that, and there hasn't been a heck of a lot going on in the last week, maybe even the last 2 weeks with harvest, with the cool, wet conditions. So we'll check in with Daphne Cruz, as well as our winners in the Supper in the Field contest. And if time permits, we'll continue to dissect this week's crop estimates report from Statistics Canada. Told you about that yesterday. I spoke this morning with two analysts. First of all, Cliff Jamieson. He's a Canadian grains analyst with DTN, the Progressive Farmer. Then I moved on to Neil Townsend, senior analyst with FarmLink Marketing Solutions. So we'll get both of their takes on that crop report, that crop estimates report, which is a model-based report. And the results of that report differed very significantly from the farmer survey that was conducted back in July. So we'll have all the details coming up on that, and some insight from our grain analysts on the program today as well. First, though, the Agriculture Weather Outlook. It's a presentation of Yorkton Raymore and Watrous New Holland, and Sean Prahika, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
And time now for Precision Weather with meteorologist Phil Spivak. We did enjoy some breaks in the cloud that have been kind of hanging over the area for the last week or so here, Phil, yesterday, but we're back under the cloud again today.
Yeah, it's trying to thin out in spots, but the problem is cloudiness is basically coming at us from two different directions. So even as one area tries to thin and depart, there's another one waiting in the wings. So not a whole lot of optimism for much in the way of a break in the overcast, not only for today, but for the next couple of days. Just a very active weather pattern, just systems moving along very quickly. One brings in some cloud cover, a little precipitation, moves out. Next one comes right back in. In between, not enough time to really clear. And that's what we're dealing with today, is a lot of cloudiness. The actual rainfall that we're going to get likely holds off until, if not late tonight, more likely early tomorrow. So we're in dry shape in spite of how it looks most of the time. Temperatures struggling to around 10 under the pretty thick overcast. Now it's brightening up at times. That'll be the case for today. Even tonight, a few more breaks in the overcast, but overall mostly cloudy. Wind picking up just a bit this afternoon, 10 to 20 from the north. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. That north to maybe northwest wind will continue, low down to around 3. And for tomorrow, mostly cloudy. May get a couple of showers in early in the day. Very spotty stuff, mainly west of Yorkton early on. Then as the day goes on, a little round of steadier rain comes in. So a couple of showers, then a steadier rain, likely towards sunset tomorrow. The high near 9, wind from the northeast at 10 to 20 around this system. It's going to track southeast. This low pressure is going to move across Alberta and then drop into Montana. That's why we get the rain out pretty quickly tomorrow night. The problem is, before it does so, there's a chance that some of us will see it change over. Now, the coldest air is going to follow the rain, and that's why I think many of us are not going to see a full changeover, maybe a mixture, but there is the chance that some of us do get into all snow before it does come to an end. Temperature down to -1. Again, it's a cool day, so it doesn't have to go down too far, but we'll likely hold in the middle single numbers for most of the rainfall, and then later nighttime as it all comes to an end and colder air comes in behind the rain, behind this thickest of the cloud cover, that's when we drop off to that -1 mark. And when you factor in that wind, it is going to feel quite chilly Saturday morning. Temperature around 5 for the afternoon, so it's going to stay quite chilly. The wind will stay up too. Not really a significant wind chill factor. Still summer, after all, for most of Saturday, but it is going to be quite a raw day under the cloud cover with a couple of spotty showers on Saturday. Summer does end late Saturday. First fall day is Sunday, and it'll feel quite chilly, struggling to around 3. A little rain or possibly some wet snow late day, a few early showers Monday, then cloud cover, still stubborn, high of 8. The clearing will set up for part of next week, but that's a long way off.
Indeed it is. Well, summer was nice while it lasted anyway. I guess that's the moral of that story. The temperature roundup this hour, 9 in La Paw, Brandon, Hudson Bay, along with Broadview and Moosomin. 8 degrees in Regina and Indian Head. 10 for Wynyard, Wadena, and Kelvington. 11 in Swan River, Shoal Lake Russell, and Roblin. It's 12 in Saskatoon. In the Yorkton-Melville region, cloudy. The wind is south-southwest at 12. Relative humidity 67%. Our temperature actually up a couple of degrees in the past hour, now 9. Yesterday's highs and lows, there's only one high and low, 13 and 0. Normals for this date. Daytime high around 15. The overnight low 3. Warmest place in the province yesterday was Watrous. Got up to 15. Saskatchewan cold spot, Key Lake, minus 8. Across the border in Manitoba, Sprague the best at 16 degrees, to Dooley Lake the coolest at minus 5. Sunrise this morning, 6:32. The sun will set tonight at 6:54. Of course, we probably won't see it because of the cloud, but just so you know, 6:54 is the actual sunset time. Again, our current temperature is 9 degrees. It's 12:25, 1:25 in Manitoba. You're listening to GX on Agriculture. We have more coming up in just a moment. First, though, we want to check in now with Danny Ismond.
Beef and Forage Report.
The president of the Saskatchewan Stock Growers wants Ottawa to expand the drought designation area in Saskatchewan. The area is mostly south of a line from Saskatoon, but excludes the eastern edge of the province, as well as parts of west central Saskatchewan. The designation allows livestock producers to defer income tax on drought-forced livestock sales in order to rebuild their herds the following year. Stock Growers President Bill Huber says the area needs to be expanded.
Well, I think it's a large area, and I think we need to be open with our discussions with the Ministry of Agriculture. I still think there's some areas that are drier than indicated on the map, especially along the west side of the province, and the Alberta-Saskatchewan border, and then again in the south. You get down to Belle Marie area, it's extremely dry there. I know producers there that virtually had less than an inch of rainfall all through the growing season. And I'm not real familiar with the Estevan area as far as drought. I haven't been down there too much this summer, but I think there's areas there that are drier than showing on the maps too. So I think we have to keep an open dialogue with the Ministry of Agriculture to as we go forward with this and keep discussions open.
Huber estimates there are another 10 to 20 RMs that should be eligible to receive the tax deferral. Meantime, on another topic, Saskatchewan Justice Ministry has posted a questionnaire asking for public input on trespass regulations, asking if all public access to rural property should require advance permission from the landowner.
I strongly support the trespassing changes. I think as producers and landowners, we need to have permission for access onto our property. I know if you're an urban resident, we as rural residents don't go on their property in villages and towns and cities without permission. And I think we respect the same, or should get the same respect as they do. And we have a lot of issues to deal with people trespassing and hunters, and, you know, as far as safety and disease. We've got issues with club root in the province. And I certainly think that we have to be more conscientious of other vehicles and people on our property. And some areas of the province now have had some rain in the last, this weekend, and so the fire hazard is a little lower, but that's another concern as hunting season comes upon us with, you know, the risk of fire. I know all areas didn't receive the moisture that we had here, but I support, I know Stock Growers had a resolution that we'd like to be kind of on the same level as Alberta and Manitoba producers as far as their trespass acts go.
Saskatchewan Stock Growers President Bill Huber farms at Lipton, northeast of Regina. It's 12:30 now, 1:30 in Manitoba. AgriView is next.
GX94, AgriView.
Well, this past week was pretty much a washout for harvest in Saskatchewan. This is Saskatchewan Agriculture's Daphne Cruz.
Generally, the wet and cool week has stalled out most combines in the field. You know, in the south, they did receive some significant rain, which I think most welcomed, mostly because it was so dry all growing season. And the other reason is that most of the crop is in the south. And so areas north of there and, of course, in the east central where, you know, you guys are just nicely getting going. Rain at this time of year is always a mixed blessing. But for the east central area where you guys are have a fairly good moisture situation already, rain is kind of basically stalled the combines out, especially probably in the last 2 weeks.
Cruz says provincially, 62% of the crop is now in the bin. The five-year average for this time of year is 53%. Additionally, 26% of the crop is now swathed or ready to straight cut. In our east central region, 55% of crops are in the bin, up from 49% last week, and still ahead of our five-year average of 44%.
Still ahead of the five-year average, but again, you know, when you're sitting for 2 weeks, you get a little antsy. And, of course, producers are trying to, you know, do some other work. In the meantime, there's been some seeding of fall cereals and hauling bales. The crop that has been taken off, I think, in the last couple of weeks has been on the tough side. And so a lot of those crops are going into either aeration or dryers so they can be stored safely.
As we move closer to the end of the month, frost is becoming much more common. Cruz says most crops have reached maturity, so frost shouldn't be a big issue.
Frost doesn't have a huge impact on it. That frost, what was that, September 5th, so it's been a couple weeks since then. You know, a lot of producers, after that frost, within 3 or 4 days, they start seeing the effects of it. And so, especially on the canola, a lot of that started getting swathed down in an effort to preserve any yield. Depending on the maturity of the crop, you know, there may be some yield loss there or maybe some quality. If that crop was just on the verge of being mature, there may be some green kernel locked in or green count a bit higher than normal. But at this time of year also, if that crop was mature and now it's been sitting in some damp conditions, either swathed or standing, for a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, depending on the conditions, we could start seeing things like bleaching or staining or even sprouting if these conditions continue. But hopefully we'll get some decent weather here and we can get combines back in the field.
Cruz says there was snow last week in the northwest region of the province.
It sounds like the northwest got anywhere from 1 inch to 6 inches of snow. Most of that sounds like it's gone now. But of course, now that just adds to drying time on top of it all. And so when it comes to snow and wet conditions, it's things like bleaching and staining and sprouting. In the northwest, there are some areas that still need some time for the crop to mature. So, you know, we're getting on in the season. And so there's some, you know, there's some issues there to deal with because now we have a lodge crop. We have some crop that may be immature and needs some more drying time down there as well. So, we're hoping for a nice October, nice, long, open October.
Saskatchewan Agriculture's Daphne Cruz. The U.S. has supplanted Brazil as the top supplier of soybeans to the European Union. Over the past 3 months, U.S. soybeans accounted for 52% of imports to the EU, rising 133% compared with the same period last year. The U.S. had just 25% of the market in the same period in 2017. The president of the European Commission said back in July that Europeans would buy more U.S. soybeans as part of a package to avert threatened tariffs from Washington on U.S. imports of European Union cars. While it appears the U.S. is in hurry-up mode to make a deal, Foreign Affairs Minister Chrystia Freeland insists she's not watching the clock. She says Canada's NAFTA negotiating team is focused on finding a compromise as it works to modernize the trade agreement. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says Canada is standing firm on its demands, which include preserving the independent dispute resolution mechanism and protecting the supply management system for dairy and poultry products. Meantime, more Canadians have been eating American-made butter in recent years, but it has nothing to do with U.S. President Trump's demands for more access to Canada's dairy market. U.S. farmers recently enjoyed extra access to the Canadian market, and in this instance, the opportunity came because of Canada's supply management system. Butter imports from the U.S. nearly quadrupled between 2015 and 2016 as domestic producers couldn't keep up with demand. The federal government approved a request to temporarily open our doors to more imports above the usual quota. And that is today's Ag Review. It's coming up on 12:39 now, 1:39 in Manitoba. We'll hear from our winners this week in GX94's Supper in the Field contest coming up shortly. We also have our report on today's closing U.S. livestock futures. Before we get to that, though, let's check in again now with Danny Ismond.
Livestock market conditions.
Cattle futures closed down today. October live cattle, 112.45, down 65 cents. December live cattle, 117.90, down 7 cents. October feeder cattle, 157.27, down 60 cents. November, 157.15, down 57 cents. October lean hogs, 61.25, up $1.25, and December lean hogs, 58.27, up 37 cents. And those are today's closing U.S. livestock futures. We have the closing grain prices coming up in about 7 minutes from now at 10 to 1, 10 to 2 in Manitoba. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Rod McDonald. We took Supper in the Field to Marie Moore's farm just west of Roblin yesterday. Marie says it used to be her parents' place.
Well, I moved here when I was 8 years old. It was my dad and mom's farm. And then when my husband and I got married, we took over the farm. So we've been here a long time.
Marie's husband passed away a few years ago. And since then, she's been renting the land to her nephew, Tim Moore. With Marie's land and his own, he farms about 4,000 acres and also has a cow-calf operation and a feedlot. Moore says the cool, damp conditions recently have stalled harvest activity in the Roblin area. He says their combines haven't moved in almost 2 weeks.
Friday will be 2 weeks, yeah.
And is that frustrating?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, it's it just, we got a really good crop, and it's just the moisture's been in the crop and tough to get it out. So I'm down to basically a kind of an afternoon of cereals, and the rest is canola that's left.
Moore grows wheat, peas, and canola, and says he straight cuts the majority of his crops.
About 75% of the farm is straight cut. When we get weather like this, I could still go. It allows us to keep harvesting and keep moving, even if we have to keep drying it.
Moore says his wheat yields are very good.
They were really good this year, like upper 70s and 80s.
And you were probably taking wheat off a little wet as well?
Yeah, yeah, it was all wet and tough. So
you've been putting the dryer to good use?
It hasn't stopped. And it's not going to stop from the looks of it.
How close is your canola to being ready to straight cut?
What we tried today was testing 12, so it's right there. We could go, but you'd have to dry it still. So
unfortunately, the forecast is suggesting that this day is maybe a bit of an anomaly, and we're going to get back into some cloudy, cool weather again.
Yeah, it looks that way. Like, today's it for possibly another week, it looks like. Farmers are really resilient. It'll come off.
Moore says while many areas have experienced a lack of moisture this year, that wasn't the case in the Roblin area.
We've been real fortunate around here. I know my own farm, we're 20 inches rain since we seeded total now. So it's been fun. Yeah, really good growing season.
And we'll give the final word to our winner, Marie Moore.
I really enjoyed it, and it was nice that we could all get together. The guys weren't too busy with the combines. We could enjoy your supper.
And best of all, there were leftovers that I'm sure Marie and her friends and family will be enjoying again today. GX94's Supper in the Field contest is brought to you by Kentucky Fried Chicken in Yorkton, Patterson Agriculture, and Sask Milk. Be sure to register your farm next week because it will be our final week for this year.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed up today, November, 489.10 a metric ton. That was up 210. January canola futures, 494.70, up $2. December Minneapolis wheat closed today at $5.88 and a half a bushel, up a half cent. December Kansas City wheat, $5.27, up three quarters of a cent. December Chicago wheat closed at $5.24, up one and a half. December corn, $3.52 and a half, up six and three quarters. November soybeans certainly bounced back after being in the doldrums earlier this week, hitting a 10-year low. November soybeans closed today at $8.50 and a quarter, up 20 and a quarter cents. And December oats closed at $2.49 a bushel. That was down a quarter of a cent. And those are today's closing grain prices. It's 9 before 1 before 2 in Manitoba. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Time is quickly slipping away on the program today. I had hoped to speak with grain analyst Cliff Jamieson from DTN, the Progressive Farmer, as well as Neil Townsend with FarmLink Marketing Solutions about this week's Statistics Canada Principal Field Crops Estimates Report. It came out yesterday, but those interviews run about 8 minutes, and as I say, we're running a little short on time today, so we'll hold that over for tomorrow's program, so I hope you'll tune in for that. A farmer from Kyle has received a strong response after inviting politicians to take a trip with her on the combine during harvest. Megs Reynolds posted an invitation on Twitter, suggested other farmers do the same, to expand dialogue with consumers and the non-farming public. She says, Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe and provincial NDP leader Ryan Miley both paid a visit.
I was really impressed with the response that I got, and I think a huge part of having such a quick response was that Scott Moe jumped on board right away and retweeted and said, I'm going to see you soon. And I think that was really a great catalyst for not only putting the word out there about my invite, but also, you know, a little bit of a challenge also to others. You know, I'm going to go, so who else is going to come ride with Meg?
When Premier Moe visited Reynolds Farm, they talked about farm sustainability and stewardship.
No, it's kind of right after that glyphosate court case in California. So we talked a lot about trust within ag, attachment from trust within agriculture, trust within Health Canada, who is obviously our regulatory body, and then a lack of trust with the companies that we're buying our products from, and how can we all work together to repair all of that? Because you can't just fix it in one place. It has to be across the board, I think. So that was a huge focus of our conversation, and we had, not just in the combine, but he had some staff out, and then we sat around afterwards with some of my family as well and just kind of brainstormed ideas and looked for insight and stuff on that.
Reynolds says she also had a very good back and forth with NDP leader Ryan Miley.
We talked about a lot of things, and I just kind of tried to let him lead the conversation. Like I put on social media with the initial interview, this was never about arguing about policy, although I know there are people out there who wanted me to take that route. So we covered a lot of topics. One of them was mental health and agriculture, extremely important topic to touch on. Young farmers in agriculture, you know, what's out there for us. Yeah, we jumped around a lot. We even talked about childcare. Obviously, I live in an area without it, so it's a bit of a challenge for me to take on the role farming on our operation that I would like to be involved in without having that available service.
Reynolds feels her conversations with the politicians are a good start to educating elected officials about farming and agriculture.
I think it was extremely worthwhile, even just to, you know, I've been asked a lot of times, well, you know, what plans did you come up with, or what things did you influence, or what are we going to change or see changes that have come out of it? And I think for me, the most important part was that conversation was able to be had. There was a bit of a relationship that was created, some trust built, and I think that that is a great thing to have, to be able to build on in the future. I think it's a great idea, this invite, whether that's into the combine cab or into the farming operation, to see it try to grow as we move forward. I've actually got some researchers coming out at the end of Saskatchewan. I don't think we'll be in the field, but it'll be nice just to talk to them, do a bit of a tour, and just more knowledge sharing, right?
Again, that's Megs Reynolds. She farms in the Kyle District in southwestern Saskatchewan. And a couple of quick zingers here to close out the program. Four winners announced yesterday at the 12th annual Great Manitoba Food Fight. It's an annual event that supports small and medium-sized agri-processors in Manitoba and helps to accelerate the rate of commercialization and growth in the food and beverage sector. Three prizes were awarded to Food Entrepreneurs, and one was awarded in the Alcoholic Beverage Competition. Food and Beverage Manitoba Executive Director Dave Shambrock says the competition helps them recognize the best new products from new companies that are a vital component of the economic growth that Manitoba is experiencing. And one thing more, don't get me started on David Suzuki. Well, perhaps. David Suzuki is calling on our federal Environment Minister Catherine McKenna to resign over the Trudeau government's support for the fossil fuel industry. Suzuki says if McKenna truly believes in reducing carbon emissions to stop global warming, she needs to stop rationalizing her own government's push for the Trans Mountain pipeline expansion. For her part, McKenna says it's easy to be divisive, but difficult to continue battling for progress on climate change in a country dependent on resource industries. So I didn't think my opinion of David Suzuki could get much lower, but today it did. So anyway, on that note, we'll close out GX on Agriculture with our precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, and Russell regions. A few sunny breaks this afternoon. Don't hold your breath, as we say. Wind north 10 to 20, high 10. Partly to mainly cloudy tonight. Wind north-northwest 10 to 20, overnight low 3. Mainly cloudy tomorrow, 60% chance of late day showers. Wind northeast 10 to 20 once again, high 9. Then Saturday, cloudy, 30% chance of spotty showers. East-northeast wind 10 to 20, high only 5 on Saturday. Won't even get that warm on Sunday. 40% chance of rain or late-day snow showers Sunday, high only 3. Then Monday, cloudy, 30% chance of showers, high near 8 degrees. On the temperature roundup this hour, 9 in the Paw, Brandon, Hudson Bay, along with Broadview and Mooseman, 8 degrees in Regina and Indian Head, 10 for Wynyard, Wadena, and Kelvington, 12 degrees in Dauphin, Saskatoon, Shoal Lake Russell and Roblin check in at 11 along with Swan River. In the Yorkton-Melville region, it's cloudy. The wind is south-southwest at 12, relative humidity 67%. Again, our temperature is 9 degrees. Again, congratulations to our winners this week in GX94 Supper in the Field. Marie Moore, her farm just west of Roblin, had a great visit with Marie and family, friends, relatives who were on hand there last night. They enjoyed their supper of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Thanks to KFC and Yorkton for providing that. Also, the prizes we left behind from our other sponsors, Patterson Agriculture and Sask Milk. Don't forget, next week is our final week for the fall edition of GX94 Supper in the Field contest. So Tuesday, be sure to register your farm family, and then hopefully on Wednesday, I'll pull your entry out of that draw barrel, and we'll visit your farm with Supper in the Field next Wednesday. That's our time for today. Join me tomorrow afternoon at 12:15, 1:15 in Manitoba. I'm Rod MacDonald.